In this chapter number 7, which is titled as Types of Organization, we'll go through a journey of understanding how for different types of activities, different types of end outcomes, we need to have different types of organization structure. In the chapter on organizing, we learned the importance of putting all the resources in a proper structure and also ensure that they are linked properly. Two things are important when you create an organization. Two things are important when you are organizing anything. The structure has to be properly created, like a flow chart. And they have to have a linkage. They have to be connected with each other. Right? These two are the principles of any organizing process. Having done that, now we are getting into a chapter wherein we are going to be asking ourselves a question: for what type of outcomes, what type of operations, what type of results we need to have organizations, what type of organization we need to have. So if you see in the very first slide, there's a snapshot of a sample organization drawn from some source, wherein we have on the top, it's very faintly written, membership is there, then there are the executive levels, board of directors, and then the various people who are all working with the departmental things, it's depicted here. A typical organization chart, which is modified for the needs of this particular organization. Okay. At the end of the day, when I'm reading an organization chart, I must be able to depict and interpret very easily without getting into confusion. Keep it short and simple, easy to readable, easy to interpret without any confusion. It should be universally read by everybody in a manner in which it speaks clearly. So that clarity is very important, because I do come across organization charts which are very confusing. Somewhere the logic of the person's mind, his clarity has not been put into the organization chart. So like, it's very important for me to be very clear about how to structure the whole organization chart and draw the various linkages in all what are shown here, right? Now, because if this is not clear, as we are discussing this topic on types of organization, we'll come across challenges when we are actually creating the organization chart for each of those organizations. And so it is important that you go very carefully, right? Today in global working, we have got a number of types of organizations, and each organization has got a different type of a structure than it used to be historically before, right? Now let's take it further to the very first slide, which talks about when an organization is created, it has structure and span of control. It is an organizational structure which has got levels descending from top to bottom. People at the top are having the highest power, authority and responsibility and accountability. And as you descend from the top to the bottom, the level wise, you come across people who are at the middle management and the lower management. And when you come down, the power, the authority, the responsibility and the accountability reduces gradually, right? So that is a structure that we create, and that gives you a beautiful depiction about who is reporting to whom, who is under power, who has got what responsibility and authority. Then we have another dimension called a span of control. One is vertical, levels come descend, and span of control, they spread across. So one senior to him is reporting, say, 5 or 6 subordinates. The 5 or 6 subordinates become his span of management or span of control. Okay. Now, it is nothing but this entire organization is created through two dimensions, the vertical dimension and the horizontal dimension. Now, these two put together gives you the interrelations between the various employees working in the company. Very easy to understand. There are seniors, middle managers, and the operation level people at the bottom. Different types of requirements need different types of structures of organization. That's why we are studying this particular chapter. Now, there are three things that come into picture when we are creating a structure. One is the nature of the business. Second comes the scale, and the third one is the size. These are the normal factors that are determined, that determine the organization structure. Nature of business could be, is the business cyclical? Is it seasonal? Is it a service sector or a manufacturing sector or an NGO? So what is the nature of business we are creating an organizational structure for? Next comes scale and size, interrelated. Size is like what the organization can is designed to make the installed capacity or the maximum capacity that is possible given the facilities. That's the size. Now I may not work to the full size of my capacity because there may be not that much demand in the market. So I may be scaling down or scaling up. These terms we have been used to listening very often. So when I scale down, I may be working at partial capacity, and when I increase it, I start going to the higher capacity. So depending upon the available resources that are already installed, I get the size. Size tells us the maximum to which I can stretch myself given the facilities and the resources. Scale tells you how much do I push and pull so that within the size I can operate. Now when the size increases, it's called as expansion, and that expansion involves good amount of cost or rather investment that is incurred in creating additional facilities. So when we say that the organization is scaling up its production by buying over another unit, what are we doing to the existing size? We are adding another size. Now this concept is one of the building blocks to understand how structures have to be created. This chapter is talking about say 5 or 6 different types of organizations which are conventionally learnt in any POM classroom. My request to all of you is take the basics of what I am explaining right now, nature, scale and size, and also the horizontal and the vertical matrices of an organization, which is the levels and the span of control, and then you must learn how to design organizations given this basic building blocks or fundas. It's very important. One need not always go by, these are all guiding lights, how to go about doing it. Certain framework is given to us. We must learn to understand the rationale of the framework, and from there we can build up any different type of organization. And that is one of the important endeavors as a takeoff. Having learned the basics of types of organization in this chapter, one has to learn to take off to design one's own organization given the nature, given the scale and given the size. That is something which is expected from a management student, learning how to design organization structure. It can't be blindly copying something that is already existing in the net or something and then making some modification without any rational. So it has to emerge from me organically, very important, right? The following common types of organizations find place in the structure of internal organization. So when you have organizations, what do you mean by internal organization? The organization which is running the company inside. Now when I talk about organization, if I take a very broader view, an organization will be a sum total of internal and external. Now in an internal and external put together, we are including the external stakeholders like the customers, the shareholders, the other people who are supporting our endeavor of whatever we guys are doing. Now that is not much talked about. Usually we talk about internal organization. And in this, these are the different types of organizations which I'll be discussing now. Line and military, line military or scalar organization. Then comes a functional organization. Then comes a line and staff organization, followed by committee organization, project organization, matrix organization, and finally free form organization. Some of these very standard organizations which every student of management has to learn. So let's take the first one, line, military or scalar organization. Line, as the name indicates, it's a typical line that is drawn, an invisible line that says that this is how the organization activities flow, and the line is usually top to bottom. It is also called as military because in the military armed forces these type of organizations are created. Scalar, because the scalar tells you how this line flows from whom to whom, who is reporting. It traces the line from the topmost person till the functional person at the bottom, in line with Henry Fayol's 14 principles. You have to connect all these topics, right? Now in a line organization or a military organization or scalar organization, this is a depiction given here. We have a designation called general manager. Okay, it need not be always the same designation. For the purpose of this particular discussion, we have given a particular snapshot of a person whom we are calling a general manager. In some other scenarios, he may be called a CEO or a VP or whatever. So this general manager is controlling, to him are reporting, it's a span of management is purchase manager, production manager, sales manager, and finance manager. There are four functional people who are reporting to general manager. Now, how do these people become purchase manager? They start somewhere bottom here. They start somewhere here. Need not be workers, they may join as purchase assistants. People who are actually working in the stores department for perhaps. And then gradually what happens is, over a period of time with experience and all, they become purchase assistants, purchase officers, you know, maybe other designations are there. And finally, they come down to become the purchase manager. So in other words, in a line function, people start from the bottom and then they work their way up to the to becoming the functional head of that particular department. They become what are called as the line managers. So if you take production, same thing is applicable. Workers, there's a particular position called foreman, maybe a charge hand, maybe an assistant engineer, blah, blah, blah. Then finally we come to production manager, right? Then we have again sales manager, similar type of a thing. So what we are essentially trying to tell you, do not take the designation literally. We are telling you about a process in which things start from the bottom and they go right up to the top. And each one of them is a functional expert area of working of the company. Purchase people handle only purchase. Production people handle only production. Sales handle only sales. Finance only finance, etc. Okay. Now we go to the worded part of it. What does it say? It says decision making authority flows from the top management to the bottom. This is how a line organization operates. Okay. The top management people have greater decision making authority than the bottom level executives. The line managers, in this case, the purchase manager, production manager, etc., do not give or receive orders among themselves. Along the span of management, we don't give orders and receive orders, but we get orders from the top. In this case, the general manager is giving the orders to the purchase manager, production manager, etc. But they receive orders from their immediate superior, the general manager in this case, and they give orders to their subordinates down below. Right? It is clear that all the departmental heads are responsible to the general manager, who in turn is responsible to the board of directors above him, not depicted in the chart. Right? Now, what are the advantages of a line organization? It's very simple, easy to interpret and understand. Division of authority and responsibility is very clear cut. Unity of control is there at the top. Unity of control means general manager is controlling all the four departments. Speedy action, because why speedy action? I'm in one department, the set of specialists, they take care of all the functions there. And when I'm a specialist, the rate of my work is faster. Okay, and so there is a speedy action and speedy results also, effective, right? Discipline is there because of the structured way of operating. Then we have flexibility of working, because within the department, there's a lot of give and take in terms of finishing the work. And it works like a team. And the flexibility is again happening because of the various divisions, which are the various sections which are there. Each section or each of the functional verticals has got the flexibility of coordinating with each other so that things can move, but remaining as a specialist themselves. They remain what they are. At the same time, there's a flexibility of operations, right? Then we have direct communication happening because there's a vertical flow coming down and across. And then we have the coordination among the various people horizontally. And finally, it is very economical because we know who's to do what, very clear cut. Anything that is clear cut becomes economical in action. So these are some of the points of which depict about the advantages of line organization. Let's take it further. We come to the second organization, which is called as a functional organization. Slightly different. In a functional organization, the person at the center of the organization is a skilled individual, highly skilled person, a professional. Let's take a medical doctor, for example. Now, he could be there at the center, and instead of he going to people, people come to him. You got to imagine this thing. A consultant, a trainer like me, functional organization, wherein people come to me. Of course, I go and do training at their premises. But then the point is, this person becomes a functional expert, and he has got some years of experience, and plus he has got a certain state of art, up-to-date technology of whatever he's doing. If he's a finance expert, he creates a functional organization in which his financial advice is taken by people. Right? Now, one has to understand one thing. In a line organization, you are doing most of the time the profit generation of the company. Your function is there because you're working with your domain skills, which is your skills. If you're a purchase person, you're going to purchase skills with you, but the purchase skills alone is not enough. the purchase skills has to augment, it has to adapt to you being useful to the organization. So in a line organization, one rises when one is not only technically competent, but one has to have the skills to convert the technical competence into tangible results which the organization has hired him for. That's why we see many people who are technically very competent, they don't rise up because they are not into the business process of the organization. So in a line organization, you rise up when you take more and more business processes and are useful to the company. Functional organization is slightly different. Here, you are as competent as you keep yourself competent from your side. If you're an expert, a software consultant, let's say, and you're an expert in that, then you have to be up to date with the latest of latest software developments in the market. Your market value, or rather your value, is determined by the way you're functionally alive. In a line function, the person is, his value is determined by the way he is able to contribute to the company. That's why there is different and here is different. Now, both these people have got their own usefulness. We'll talk about it later as we go down the line. Let's see what this is all about. Now, there's a works manager. Under him, there are functional experts. There's an engineer who's he's a functional expert. All engineering work, he is good in that. Then there is a person who's a superintendent, whose work is to take care, he's a superintendent for a lot many people down the line. And then we have a chemist. This is just one example drawn from some source, wherein there's a person called a chemist, a person who's dealing with chemical formulations and stuff like that, and dispensing it, right? Now imagine an engineer. This engineer is connected with lines to the various people who are working here. Now some of these designations you see are very old designations of the years gone by. We do not find this designation today in industry. Now there's a particular designation, route clerk. You know, the typical manufacturing unit, we have these designations. A route clerk, then we have instruction cart clerk, time and cost clerk, then we've got a disciplinarian, a gang boss, a speed boss, an inspector, and a repair boss. Now these are all typical shop floor terminologies. There are different types of people who are working at the shop floor level, at the same level, and these people have got different types of functions to do. So they were given certain titles. Now what we are showing out here is the engineer is, his services are required by the route clerk, by the instruction clerk, by the time clerk. Everybody needs this service. That's what this diagram is trying to depict, right? So these people, whenever they have anything to do with engineering, they have to go to this gentleman. In that other case, it's different line function. The line function has any problem, they go only to their boss, to their HOD, head of the department, and from there they have to make coordinated bridges with the other department which is supposed to take care of their problems. For example, if the production people have got a problem in line function, the production person reports directly to the production manager, and the production manager will go to the maintenance manager, and then the maintenance people will give the proper type of instructions to their juniors who will come and repair the machine. So it's a type of a very protocol based, a very line form of working. Everything goes only by the way the organization is structured. Okay, in this case, anybody and everybody in the organization, anybody and everybody in the organization who needs an engineering task to be done, they have to resort to this person. So he becomes a functional expert. So this organization is one wherein the functional part of it is given the major importance. We may have a superintendent whose services are required by all these people who are given here. The chemist, anything to do with chemical formulation, dispensing of chemicals or whatever, this person is in charge of it. Now this is a chart which is drawn from an old source, so some of these terminologies do not exist anymore. You could draw a similar chart for an organization wherein you have an external consultant who is trying to help you, or you may have an internal person who is trying to give his functional expertise to you, and you could have the various people who are talking about it. Now these people, route clerk, instruction cart clerk, etc., to below them are the workers, the people who are the operational staff who get the things done. Now what are we showing? We are actually showing that at the top there's a works manager. There are functional experts out here whose services are taken by the various people who are converting resources into finished goods. And the last line, the workers line or the operation line, has to simply do the job. In other words, as and when there is an expertise required, anybody here has to consult the concerned expert. But there's a catch. The catch, inverted commas I could call it. The catch is that functional organizations comprise experts who give advice, and you're supposed to follow the advice to the T, because it is expected that they know the best and the correct thing. That is a part of the way it works. It's like a medical doctor to whom you go for your illness. And the doctor is supposed to be a functional expert as far as diagnosing is concerned and giving you the medicine. Now, when he diagnoses and tells you, you take a certain medicine for say 10 days or something, you're supposed to take it for 10 days, even if you're okay in 6 days or 5 days. Haven't you encountered this? Now, suppose something happens, he'll come and tell you, did you stop the medicine? You will say yes, if you're truthful. And then he'll say, because you stopped the medicine, this went wrong. So functional experts, functional organizations have a top-down way of giving advice, and you have to follow the advice. When you engage a functional organization's services, it is expressly understood that you consider them as experts and you have to follow everything that they say to the T, even if they do not know the complete nature of your business. And so functional organizations have got their own limitation. The limitation being, functional experts may be experts as far as their areas are concerned, but they may not expand themselves in the thinking about understanding the various business verticals. This is where the shortcoming comes. But having said that, it doesn't mean that this organization is redundant. It is not useful. There are many cases, many instances where the functional organization is important and they have to be there. For example, when an organization is going for a technological change and they are entering into a new area, they could hire a functional expert, a consultant, who's got lots of years of experience and he's a proven person. And he could become a functional organization where everything that he says we have to follow. When you're entering into the unknown, we need a functional expert. When you're entering for a collaboration and you don't know any idea, no clue about what's going to happen, then you need a functional expert. So these people, like, they become like a guiding star for us, right? But on a day-to-day basis, in a commercial organization, the functional expert may not be fully utilized. And all that he or she advises us to do, we may not really find it practicable. That's where the disconnect comes. This is not to say that they are not relevant. They are relevant, but they are relevant as far as their domain area is concerned. Now, while I'm talking to you, does it occur to you that we had a line which I discussed some time back? Now I'm discussing functional. Both of them have got advantages. How about combining both of them together? Getting the best of both worlds. That's when we are going to the next one. Now, this is a functional organization. Words which are all written here, let me run through it first. Under functional organization, various specialists are selected for various functions performed in the organization. I've already explained. These specialists attend to the work common to different functions of various departments, and the workers receive instructions from various specialists. These specialists work at the supervisory level, and thus the workers are accountable to not only specialists, but also to the specialists from whom the instructions are received. Okay? Now, advantages of a functional organization is given here. We can run through it. Benefit of specialization, application of expert knowledge, reducing the workload on each person because only one type of work, better efficiency and proficiency because of focused work. Let me talk about this. Reducing the workload on each person because of one type of work. I'm an expert in my area. I may be a ceramic expert, so it's only ceramic I need to focus. The focus is not lost. If I'm a ceramic expert, I have to do selling also, I have to do this after sale service, so many function things I need to do which are not my area, then I have a dilution of my energy. So the workload on me reduces and I get more of focus. Better efficiency and proficiency because of focused work, already explained now. Adequate supervision is possible because people are doing their own work and we know exactly what to supervise, not too many things. Flexibility is possible because of the fact that when we are having functional experts, I can always go along and refer to them. At the same time, I can put them into action the way I want it to be put into action. Now, when we say flexibility, the functional organization needs to be given certain amount of inputs about how we work, acclimatize them, then it becomes flexible for them to give an advice in line with what we want, right? Economy of operations, because they are functional experts, we don't have to run around into too many directions, looking for the searching the thing all over again. Mass production is possible, cooperation among people takes place, and relief to line executives because instructions given by specialists to workers directly. Okay. However, the disadvantages of functional organization, it's a complex relationship. The experts talk a language which is very different from what the workers understand. Even the people in between, the middle level which I showed you sometime back, even those people may not understand their particular type of a lingo, that jargon. And so the relationship becomes very complex, difficult to maintain discipline. The reason is because when people are working on a functional, under the guidance of a functional expert, they may be going on a certain time-bound, a timeless frame, because they want the best to be done. And the discipline involves time management not being there, resource allocation not being properly taken care of. I may spill over the resources than what I wanted. For example, if I'm working on a new project, a prototype, I have a functional expert who's advising me. I'm right directly under him. And then this person tells me that we need about 2 months to finish this project. I may take 3, 4, 5 months because he says, no, we need to add on. So when you're doing an R&D project for that matter, this type of a thing does happen. Discipline of time, discipline of resources goes for a toss, because the commercial part of the working seems to be taking a back seat. The functional part takes the front seat. Over-specialization, ineffective coordination could happen if people are not understanding each other's language. Okay, poor administration as a fallout of this, increase in overheads because the functional experts, whether they work for 1 hour in a day or 10 hours in a day, you have to pay them for the full day, right? Lack of responsibility in terms of if things go wrong, who is the person to be accountable? The functional experts might put their hands up and say, not me, because you didn't implement it properly. The implementer will say that you said this, so I did it, and if it has not come out well, your advice is not okay. So this sort of a back and forth thing might happen, and things are centralized with the functional expert's advice. He becomes a ultimate person, and then speed of action gets hampered because there could be a slowdown of what we want. Okay, now we come to the what I spoke about sometime back. How about the best of both worlds, line and staff organization, the third type of organization which I'm discussing, right? Now this is the organization where there's a depiction given here. We have the MD at the top, managing director. He has a personal assistant, dotted line, also called as the executive assistant these days. EA to the MD, we say EA to the CEO, right? And then we have the finance manager who's handling all finance functions, the works manager, the personnel manager who handles all the manpower requirements. And these three people, there's a thick line that connects them to the manager process. Then we have under the works manager, a plant superintendent, okay, who's one level below him. Then we have repairs and maintenance officer, a quality control inspector. This is all about the plant. If you see, this is a part of the plant. Then there are workers 1, 2 and 3. So this works manager, all along this particular island which I'm showing through my marker, look at this. This entire thing is coming under production. This is how the production department is working. Now to all these things, if you see the dotted lines that are attached. Now this dotted line of quality control is a type of a, we use it as a support department or a department that gives you the utility support, as you call it. So this quality control inspector is an expert in quality control. That's his domain area. He is like a functional organization, okay? And he gives advice to the plant superintendent as and when it is required. Same thing happens with the repairs and the maintenance officer, who is a expert in maintenance and repair. He comes to the rescue when things go wrong in the machines. Okay, then we have the process planner, the person who takes care of the steps of the process, and he is not required all the time. He is required as and when he wants. The dotted line, the dot and the dashed line is just depicting as and when a person is required, his services are taken. Personal assistant services are taken by the managing director as and when he wants. Okay, then we have a manager process under whom these various people are sitting. And then we have the materials control people who give them support to the production people as and when it is required. So when we talk about as and when required support, that is possible by two ways. One is I have a functional organization which operates on the functional organization's philosophy. Experts matter, specialists matter. But there we found underutilization of resources and wastage, and in some cases inefficiency. In a line function, what happens? Simply production takes place. after some time technological obsolescence of the person takes place. Take a bright engineer who joins a company. He's a topper from IIT or one of the reputed institutes, and then he joins an organization as a fresher. Many of you listening to me must have done that. I did that when I joined my organization. I'm so full of my theory, I'm so full of my fundas and technicals. I read a lot about what's going on, and I'm in a position to relate technically to my function more than commercially. As days pass by, my technical up to date is less than my commercial up to date with respect to the organization. Watch yourself then and now. People with, say, 2-3 years experience, even that far we need not go. After 6 months or 1 year, you talk less technical and more business process oriented things in your organization. Is it not true? That's what we do when we join a line organization. So line organization emphasizes business processes. What is it that you can offer? How can you add to the top line, bottom line of the company through your functions? Totally commercially related. Functional organizations say, what's the technical expertise that you can offer at any given point of time? So a person with 10 years of experience and a very bright engineer, mechanical engineer with 10 years of experience. Initially, he was a bright engineer. He still is a bright engineer, but his engineering skills are not used today. 10 years from now, he's an HOD of the production department, and his skills are there because he's adding value to the top line, bottom line of the company. So if you talk to him about the latest technology, what's happening, it'll take quite some time for him to arrive at it. Now this production engineer, production manager, has to get into a new line of activity for the company. What is it that he has behind him? He is coming from one of the best engineering institutes. He's a topper. That was 10 years back. 10 years now, 10 years down the line, today, he is very good in the business processes. He has a combination of these two things, right? But the technical part of it is not that much strong, because majority of his time during the day is spent for working for the company's business. Now, when this gentleman is asked to go in for a new technology market, he has to go and, you know, shop for new technology, or he wants to introduce a new product or something, then don't you all agree that he needs to take care of two dimensions? One is the technological dimension, which is the latest technology which will be available to us so that we have a competitive advantage. And then the commercial aspect of this technology, the feasibility of this technology. Is it important or not? So while he has experience, while he is a good engineer, his engineering skills today may not be that much up to date, may not be. So he needs one more person who is an expert in the technological advancements happening outside in the market, and that person and this production in charge, both of them come together, and then they may go collectively for shopping for technology. Now this particular combination of a technical expert coming and a line person coming together and shopping is a little complex, because this person is from an outside, we have to hire him. Now could I bring him from inside the company? Why hire? Let me have an expert within the company. So there are certain people in the organization like this, they give you support services, quality control inspector, materials control, stores, machine tryout. These are all people who are available for the main processes of the company. There are visibly value added processes which take us towards the goal of the organization. Now we need support functions, right? Now when I say support, let us not trivialize support. Support is not something that is to be taken as and when required and there to be just kept away from you. Support functions are there, they are live all the time. You need them all the time. I'll give a different type of an example right now. You know, an office works and people are there. They need to have coffee break and tea break. Is the canteen a type of a functional organization or not? The canteen fellow whom we do not even glorify, we think, oh fine, we take him for granted. So he gives you a cup of tea and coffee and snacks or whatever as and when you want it. It's live. So he's a functional expert where we go and have our tea and coffee and all, or he brings it to the table. Are we dependent on him? Yes. Do we give him that much importance as we give to our production? Answer is no. But that functional person, if he is not there, will our work go efficiently? No. So the functional organization acts as a very vital feeder to the line functions to go efficiently. Only functional organization might tend to stray away from the commercial aspects of the company, the profits. Only line results in a technological backwardness in the long run. Combination of these two things is what we want, and that is where a line and staff organization comes. This particular depiction may not be very, very perfect and accurate, but we are conveying to you the importance of understanding how these two have to mix and match. Today, most of the organizations, almost 80% organizations, are line and staff function organizations. I want all of us to understand how these two are apparently looking in two different directions, but they are not. One is complementing with the other. If I, as a trainer, has been training with a lot of passion some 10, 15 years back, and the same passion continues today, plus I am able to get more and more training assignments, then I can safely say that I am handling both of them together. Now, within the same person, having the line and staff thinking is quite challenging. But then there are people in organizations I know who are very good. Technically, they're abreast of the latest. At the same time, commercially also they go up. And these are the people who go up to rise to become the MD or the CEO or the general manager of the higher levels. It's the integration of so many things. Okay. So having said this, let me take you to the wordings. This organization is an outcome of the best of the line and functional organizations. I've already mentioned. The line officers have the authority to take decisions and they implement them to achieve the objectives of the organization. And the line officers are assisted. Now, don't take assistance as something secondary. It's very important. They are complemented, they are facilitated, I could use the word, by the staff officers while framing the policies and the plans and taking decisions. Right? Many times the line officers are not in a position to acquire the technical knowledge. For example, for taking correct decisions in production, adequate technical knowledge is needed. I gave this example about how you go shopping for new technology. Right? This gap would be bridged by staff officers who are experts in a particular field. The line officers get expert advice from the staff officers before taking any final decision. They work in teams. Functional organization is outside. When you engage him in a line organization, then there is a lot of formal things on which we need to be working. But when I already have a person inside who is playing the role of a functional expert, then it's a lovely thing to happen. Okay.